Let's turn then to Isaiah chapter 55. God willing, we'll be back in Genesis next week, but this is the first Sunday of the year, so I thought we would have something different. And our theme is seeking God. So Isaiah 55, I'll read the whole chapter. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will find delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have promised that your word will accomplish what you desire. And we ask, O God, that as we listen to your word this morning, that we would know you speaking to us, that we would understand it and believe it and obey it, and that you might accomplish in us what you desire. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last year, on the first Sunday of the year, we thought about the importance of reading God's word. In a world where there are so many voices speaking to us, God's voice alone stands as a voice that is always true and always good. And I must say, I've been encouraged to hear of different ones in the church, including young people, who took to heart that challenge to read the scriptures each day. And that's been a real great encouragement to me personally, that you have done that. And I trust it's been a great blessing as you have read the scriptures each year. And I want to encourage you to do that again this year. You know, there may be things that you'll regret doing in 2018, but reading the Bible every day is not something you will ever regret. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And the Psalm 1 goes on to say, that person will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bears its fruit in its season, its leaf will not wither, and whatever they do will prosper. So I want to encourage you to keep reading God's word. But this morning we have a different theme for 2018. And it's simply this: I want to urge each one of you to seek after God. We read these verses 6 and 7 in Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. You know, we give a lot of our energy to seeking things. I don't just mean those times you lose your keys and you spend 10 minutes trying to find them, or you're going shopping looking for just the right pair of shoes and you spend 2 hours seeking those shoes somewhere in some shop tucked away in some corner of the Westgate Centre. I'm not talking about that kind of seeking. But we spend so much of our time, don't we, looking for something. We might work long hours each week because we're seeking a better lifestyle. We might be seeking relief from pain or from illness or from boredom. We might be seeking better relationships that are closer, more fulfilling, and we put so much effort into that. But whatever it is that you seek today and this year, God calls out to you to make one thing your priority, and that is to seek God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. If you're a Christian this morning, that is to be the direction of your heart. Always to be seeking after God. When you read the Bible, it's not simply to be better informed about the things of God, but it's because you are looking for God himself. You want to know him. You want to have fellowship with him. And we'll think about more of that this evening in our Bible study. You know, when you are in need this year, and we all face pressures, I want your first response to be to seek God. It's so easy, isn't it, to, you know, Google the problem or think, right, I've got to work this out. And so often the last thing we do is actually to come to God in prayer and to seek him in our time of need. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I want to say to you this: seeking God is more important than anything else that you can do this year. You should read the Bible. But if you're not seeking God as you read the Bible, it may simply harden you against him. You know, Israel had become hardened against God. They preferred to serve idols rather than the living God, their God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so Isaiah has to say to them, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. But why should Israel or anyone today want to give up their ways to seek God? Why would the drunkard give up their drink if it's the only consolation in their life? Why would someone give up sexual immorality if it's the only pleasure that they have? Why would the person obsessed with success pull back when success is their only hope of ever being respected by other people? Why would someone happy with their life want to seek after God? Well, in this chapter, Isaiah gives us three reasons why you should seek after God. Three reasons to seek God. The first is this: seek God because of what he alone can give you. Seek God because of what he alone is able to give you. Take a look at some of what God offers to people in this chapter, and it is a most remarkable catalogue of rich blessings. The chapter begins with this call for people who have no money to come and buy lovely food and wine and milk. And God offers this food and drink that people do not have to pay for. This is not junk food. This is the richest of fare that truly satisfies. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will find the richest of fare. This food and drink that truly satisfies. Then there is life and love that God promises that will last forever. Verse 3. Give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Then there is forgiveness that is given freely in verse 7. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, to our God, and he will freely pardon. Then there is joy and peace and singing that endure. This is kind of the reversal of the fall. The fall, thorns and thistles were introduced, and pain and agony. Well, look at verses 12 and 13. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, nor all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, think of the fall, will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. I think these are truly wonderful things that satisfy, that bring joy, peace. In fact, these are the very things that people in some shape or form are longing for. It's not pleasant to feel thirsty or hungry. I mean, really hungry and really thirsty. We want to be satisfied. And actually, we want to be satisfied not just with food and drink, but there's a longing for a satisfaction in our hearts that goes beyond the physical. Or think of the life that God promises. People do not like the thought of dying. It's a topic that people avoid. Why? Because we want life. We don't want death. And we want love, not indifference or hatred. Or think of the pardon that verse 7 speaks of. So many people feel a sense of guilt in their relationships because of what they've done to someone. And maybe they feel a sense of guilt before God. And how that guilty person longs to hear words of forgiveness. And that is what is offered here. We have our fairy tales. And they end, they lived happily ever after. And we love those stories as children. And of course, it resonates with the desire of our heart. We want the happily ever after. We don't want the good times to end. That good friendship. We don't want separation. That great project that we're enjoying to work on, we don't want it to end. We don't want our lives to end. There's that yearning within the human heart for the happily ever after. And this is what God offers. A love, a joy, a song that endures forever. Are you looking for these things in your life? Well, I have to say to you, stop striving after them. Not because you can't have them, but because you yourself cannot get them for yourself. Look at verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? You see, the work that we put into seeking for these things does not achieve it. Only God can give us these great blessings. Verse 3. Give ear and come to me, says God. Listen that you may live. You see, our world is full of people who work so hard for things that do not satisfy. They put up being exploited by their boss. They have this dream of some better lifestyle or some success or whatever it is, and they're seeking those things, and it doesn't satisfy. Give ear, says God, and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Think of the abusive person who maybe is trying for years to regain the love and trust of the person that they, whose life they ruined. And what an awful situation when that happens. But God can bring true forgiveness and true reconciliation. A lot of people strive hard for a healthy lifestyle. And you know, we all hear about it, don't you? You know, you're five a day and take some exercise and do all this and that. I'm not saying these are bad things, of course not. But you cannot stop the day of your death. You could be the healthiest person around. You could have the best private medical insurance, but you're not going to be able to stop the day of your death. You could have gene therapy if they invent that this year or perfect it. Only God can give you eternal life. Now let me ask you this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that satisfaction, that forgiveness, that life and love and joy only come from God ultimately? That He truly gives life, peace and lasting joy. You know, there are lots of people in the world who are telling you, you don't need God. There was a man by the name of Judson. He was the son of a pastor. And he went off to college as a teenager. And he met a guy called Jacob Eames. And Jacob Eames did not believe in God. And Jacob Eames seemed such a successful young man that Judson was greatly influenced by him. The two became good friends. And Jacob Eames persuaded Judson to reject all that he'd been brought up with. He didn't need God. You can go out there and be what you want to be. You don't need God for satisfaction, for life, for joy. Just be what you want to be. And so Judson adopted this new lifestyle. He was interested in the theatre and in writing, and he pursued those things for a while. He lost contact with Jacob Eames, but things didn't work out so well, and in the end, he didn't know what to do, so decided he would make his way back home. Oh, on his journey home, he had to stay overnight somewhere, and the only room available, the person giving out the room said, well, actually, there's someone who's very ill in the next room. It might be a disrupted night. Well, Judson said, look, I need somewhere to stay. Well, he was kept up most of the night with the sounds and cries of this person next door who was dying. And Judson thought, wow, what a dreadful situation. Here's a man dying, and what's going to happen to his soul when he dies? Well, eventually things were quiet and Judson got some sleep. And as he left the next day, he asked the owner of the place and said, well, what happened to the person in that room? Oh, he died. He died last night. What was his name? His name was Jacob Eames. And that hit Judson between the eyes. Here was that man, Jacob Eames, who persuaded him to reject God, that he didn't need God in his life. And yet when it came to Jacob Eames' own end, he was in agony of soul. Of course he needed God. And God used that remarkable coincidence to bring Judson to himself. You may know the story of Adoniram Judson, who later became a missionary to Burma. Seek God because of what He alone can give you. Can I say to you young people, don't try and go through life ignoring God. Because you will strive and strive only to be disappointed. you need God. Oh, for a time, you may feel you can do without him, but you need God. And God is here and offers to us these wonderful blessings. That's the first reason to seek God, because there are things that only God can give you. The second reason to seek God is this: seek God because of who God is. You see, Isaiah's message to Israel was to seek the Lord not simply for these blessings, but to seek God for who he is. Look at how Isaiah describes God in verse 5. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. He describes God as the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. He is the God who made this covenant and made promises to King David. And God is faithful to that. Verse 3, give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Isaiah is reminding the people of the greatness and the goodness of God and is reminding them that this is their God. He had rescued them. He had made them a nation. He had given them the law, the promises, the land, the blessings. He is our God. Verse 7, come to our God and he will freely pardon. You know, when I read the history of Israel, and if you read through the Bible this year, you will have read some of those kings of Israel in Chronicles and 1 and 2 Kings. And sometimes you come across certain kings and you think, why did they do that? Well, there was one king who lived in the time of Isaiah. His name was Ahaz. And King Ahaz went to visit Damascus, which was the capital city of Syria. And he saw there an altar to one of the gods in Damascus. And he liked the look of this altar. And he got his artisans to make a copy of this and to build it in Jerusalem and put it in the temple. Now here's the irony. Damascus, not long before this, had just been defeated by the Assyrians. The gods of Damascus had been completely powerless in the face of the Assyrians. Her gods were worthless. And yet Ahaz still wanted to seek after these gods and have an altar to these gods built in Jerusalem. You think, why? Why, when you have the God of heaven and earth as your God, would you choose a God that is demonstrably defeated? Idols are nothing. They cannot see, they cannot move, they cannot talk, they can't do anything to help you. They have been fashioned by human hands, as we read in Isaiah 40. But Israel's God, what power, what glory, what majesty. Let me remind you what we read in Isaiah 40 about God. Isaiah 40 in verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. This is your God, Israel, the God who created the billions, the trillions of stars. Who is his equal? You cannot compare the gods of the nations to your God. And what tenderness and love your God is able to show. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is your God, Israel. What tenderness, what power. This is the God that you are to seek. Now, if you are a Christian, this is also your God. The Holy One of Israel is your God too. Nothing that you face this year will be too difficult for him. He doesn't grow weary, but he strengthens the weary. From your least concern to your greatest difficulty, he cares and is able to care. He provides and is able to provide. You know, so many people try and make their own God. Don't think that you can somehow fashion your own God, someone who will meet your needs. No, there is one true God. You know, the world still teaches us, you've got it within you. You can be what you want to be. You can fulfill your dream. And what does that result in? A world of exhausted, disillusioned people who follow that lie. For a time they have hope, but sooner or later that hope peters out and leaves people disillusioned. You need God. And you need him for who he is. He is the powerful, he is the loving, the tender God. Maybe 2018 will be a time of great testing for you. I don't know. How will you get through? Remember this verse. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Maybe you'll feel defeated by sin at times this year. Well, then remember that your God is a gracious God. Let the wicked forsake their ways, the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You see, your Saviour understands. Elsewhere, Isaiah speaks about the smoking wick that he will not snuff out. Maybe you feel so weak, so frail, but that's the gentleness of your God. He will not snuff out the smoking wick. He will not break the bruised reed. Maybe there are times when you weep alone. You feel hurt and crushed. Seek your God. Seek the Lord. He is powerful and he is gentle. His powerful arms control the nations. But those arms also gather his lambs to his heart. Seek God because of who he is. There's a third reason that we have in this chapter why we should seek God, and it's this. We've seen that we should seek God because of what he alone can give us. We should seek God because of who he is. But thirdly, seek God because he can be found. Seek God because he can be found. We said at the beginning that people are doing a lot of seeking in our world, but actually they're not finding very much. They're a bit like these prospectors going to find gold, and thousands of them rush over to California in the gold rush, and they're trying to find their fortune, and so many of them find nothing. And that's our world. They're seeking, they're striving, and they find nothing. What they thought would satisfy them doesn't satisfy them. You know, I read this week that in the UK today, the two most responsive groups to the gospel are the very poor and the very rich. It's interesting, isn't it? And the assessment was this, that, well, the poor, they don't have money to spend and try and pursue what isn't bread. And so they go straight for what's better. And the wealthy, well, they've got all that society tells them is going to make them happy, and they found it doesn't. They've got so much money, they've got millions, and yet For all their seeking, they simply haven't found. They're still empty. And so then they start to look in the true place. Seek me and live. People in our world are doing a lot of seeking, but not much finding. But when you seek God, then you will do some finding. If you seek God, you will find him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Jesus put it simply, seek and you will find. Everyone knows that phrase. You heard that phrase before? Seek and you will find. Jesus is really talking about seeking God. Seek God and you will find him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The reason you will find God is that he lets himself be found. He's not far away. He's near. He's not elusive. He can be known. You see, not only is seeking God the most important thing you can do this year, but it will also be the most successful thing that you do. Anyone can find him. But how? How do you find him? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, you know, it's not some game of cosmic hide and seek. What are we talking about here? What does it mean to seek God? What does it mean that he can be found? Well, the next line tells us, call on him while he is near. You seek God by calling on him, by turning to him. Verse 7. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And then he answers. He freely pardons. He has mercy. You see, it's not complicated. You don't need to be a clever person or a skilled person to be able to seek the Lord. It's only a few people who can make their millions and billions. The really skillful, the really successful. But when it comes to seeking God, this is for anyone and everyone. The youngest to the oldest, the weakest to the strongest. Seek God and you will find him. Seek him because he can be found. You don't need money to buy this bread, this satisfying food. But he gives it freely. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. You don't need to be a great person, all sorted out and successful, to be able to find God. No, it's the unrighteous who can know his acceptance. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, and he will freely pardon. You don't have to earn this forgiveness. The pardon is free. All that God asks of you is that you seek him and forsake your ways. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Or in the words of the New Testament, repent and believe the good news. As we enter 2018, I want to encourage you to take these words with you. Learn these few words and take them to heart. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Those times you are in difficulty, unsure of the way ahead, seek God. Ask for his help and his guidance. Those times you feel angry or confused or full of grief, seek God and remember that he sees, he can be found, he is near, and he can help you. Those times you feel afraid in the face of eternity, when you dread the day of death, don't distract yourself and try and think about something else. No, seek God, call on him, turn from your sin, and be saved. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The time will come when he can no longer be found. But this is the day of salvation. Today we may still seek God, but the time will come when we can no longer seek after him. After our death, it's too late. When Jesus Christ returns, it is too late. But today is the day of salvation. He may still be found. So let me ask you, are you calling on God? Have you ever called on God for forgiveness, for life, for joy, for his guidance? Seek the Lord while he is near. Call on him while he may be found. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ came into this world. We thank you that he is near, that we can come to him and call out to him wherever we are, whatever time of day, whatever situation we're in. And we thank you, O God, that your promise is that when we seek the Lord, you can be found. Thank you that you freely pardon. Thank you that you give life and love and joy and peace. May we not look to the things of the world for these things, but may we look to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we close.